Welcome to the film show on KBOO. I'm SW Concert, and today we will be previewing the Portland Film Festival with the help of festival director Josh Leek and special guests Laurie Craig and Rob Taylor. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
The festival is coming up August 29th through September 5th, and we'll find out all about the screenings and workshops and community events that listeners can attend. Plus, today we have a full calendar of film events coming up, so we'll be filling you in on local and independent happenings around the Northwest. Right now, though, I am joined by my amazing co-host Jen Chavez. Jen is covering a film event that's happening this weekend. Noche de Película will spotlight documentaries by queer Latino artists. And Jen has filmmaker and curator Marco Castro Bojorquez on the line. So take it away, Jen.
Pride Month may have come and gone in June, but this weekend, the 25th through the 28th, the annual PDX Latinx Pride Festival celebrates the local LGBTQ Latinx community. On Saturday night, the fest will feature Noche de Película 2016, in English, Movie Night. The annual screening will showcase four short films depicting the experiences of LGBTQ and Latinx communities around the world. This year's program was curated by filmmaker Marco Castro Bojorquez, who drew from his own experience and identity in selecting programming under the theme De Azul las Mariposas.
The one thing that I do a lot is that I introduce culture into the work that I do as an activist. I work a lot with HIV/AIDS, and I work a lot with youth and families. Mm-hmm. And I feel that as a Latino immigrant man that is living with HIV, that there is a ton of labels that are hung on us. And so sometimes I fight them back with symbols that actually come from our culture and our ancestry. And so Las Mariposas, or the butterflies, are also a way that people call folks that are queer or gay in the Latin American countries. It's been done in a derogatory way. And so I wanted to take that and to empower myself and the film with the blue butterfly. The butterfly is very rare. It has the expression of Mother Nature. It's sort of like my way to put out there into the universe something that is magical and that is so fragile and yet so strong, and it represents rebirth.
The empowerment Marco hopes to foster at this year's PDX Latinx Pride comes 2 short months after an unimaginable tragedy, the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, Florida. Many of the victims were queer Latinx people. I vividly remember Joaquin Lopez, also of PDX Latinx Pride, reciting the names of the victims through tears on the steps of Portland's Q Center a few nights afterwards. Marco was also shaken.
As a queer man of color, especially coming from the Latino ancestry, very proudly, that evening, it changes everything for you, because you understand that young people that don't have a lot of opportunities to express themselves and to live their sexuality free were doing that evening. And there were young people that have to work so hard to have what they have, and they were trying to just be themselves. And at some point, you realize that you have gone through that yourself as well, and that you could have been there. As an activist, mm-hmm. and as someone who is a youth advocate, and someone who fights for the Latino community on a daily basis, for me, everything that I do is different now than before that day.
Marco's activism extends to his filmmaking work. He's now made several documentaries which explore the relationships of Latinx immigrants with their queer children. El Canto de Calibri showed at last year's festival. It's a feature-length documentary that looks at immigrant fathers. Its companion film, Tres Gotas de Agua, will screen at this year's Noche de Película, portraying the experience of immigrant mothers and their LGBTQ kids. Marco emphasized to me that the mission of these films was to bust stereotypes about the treatment of queer issues in the Latinx community, saying one of his intentions with El Canto de Calibri was to counter the stereotype that Latinx men are homophobic. He explained that cultural factors that make coming out a daunting process exist across cultures.
Still in our culture, in all the cultures, actually, I will say, mm-hmm. but also in the Latino community, there is a lot of misinformation And I am going to be very honest by saying that organizations or institutions like the church has been the very stronger barrier for us to actually educate our folks about their sex and their sexuality. So instead of people living their lives openly and live their sexuality in a way that is beautiful and that is right, people cast a shadow into our lives when it comes to sex. And so everything that is about sex is a taboo, is not spoken openly. People don't want to say the things that they think. They have to say the things that people are expecting for you to say. And so we live in a society that is uneven in that way because we don't provide the actual society that should be set for folks to thrive. It's the opposite. Latino men, Latino women more, Latino trans women more, they live their lives like a salmon and they go against the current on a daily basis for everything that they have to do.
We got to talking about his film Tres Gotas de Agua, which will screen on Saturday. He interviews three immigrant mothers, Dolores, Susana, and Mirna.
What I learned from these women as I was interviewing them is that the same thing that happened with El Canto del Colibrí is that most women have never been asked the questions that I asked to them that day. And there was such a sophistication in the way that they were dealing with their children. And there was so much personal growth and work and observation. And at the end, the biggest thing that they had as a weapon against perhaps ignorance, it was the love for their children. Because when I will ask them about them, the lights, the faces of these women will change. I remember that distinctively. And then they also simplify things in a way that you just hear it, but then when you analyze it, you understand that it's not simple at all. Because they said, in El Canto also, people say this. They said, all what you need is to love your children, and that's all what you should listen to. And when people listen to these three women, they understand that immigrant people have to do a lot of work for them to actually live their lives as they want to. And when you don't have the resources that you need to educate or to raise a child, you make them. And that's the community. That's the beauty of us being immigrants because, you know, Patricia Engel is a writer from Colombia. She said that all immigrant people are artists because they build their future and their present out of a dream. And that's what I think about the women of Tres Gotas de Agua.
Noche de Película will feature three more films portraying different pieces of LGBTQ identity, not just in Latinx countries, but around the globe. Marco told me more about his selections.
I decided to create this program that is called De Azul Las Mariposas, based on the relationship that I have with the filmmakers or the influence that the films had in me. And so I start with Tremulo, which is a film from Mexico by a friend of mine that I met in Ecuador. And his film is amazing. It's a romantic story, but with a lot of sabor, with a lot of sensuality, not to confuse with sexuality, although that is well. And I think it's a great way to start the evening. The second film is La Primavera Rosa en el Kremlin, which means the pink spring in the Kremlin. It's a short film that takes a look at the lives of the Russian activists that are queer and gender nonconforming. What it does is that make people really appreciate what we have. Being queer and being gay, there are places where actually you can be killed, you can be put to jail. And I want for people to don't forget to center yourself and check your privilege and understand that what we have in the U.S., it is privilege and that we need to acknowledge that. And after that, then I go to this beautiful place of Hawaii where there is this beautiful film that is called A Place in the Middle. And it's basically the story of a girl that is trying to get into this amazing troupe of dancers. And she can't because they are for men. So it explores gender in the culture of the people of Hawaii. And I thought that it would be great for folks to be there to relate to other cultures and to understand how they use actually culture to empower themselves. And then I close with my little film that could, and that is Tres Gotas de Agua. That will be the program. And after that, we're going to go to a reception and we're just going to chill and we're going to make friends and say hi to our old friends.
I've been speaking with Marco Castro Bojorquez, filmmaker and curator of this year's Noche de Película. The screening kicks off at 7 p.m. Saturday at the Hollywood Theater, followed by a reception at Columbia River Brewing at 9:15. More info about the screening and the rest of this year's PDX Latinx Pride Festival is available at latinogaypridepdx.com.
Thank you, Jen. You're listening to The Film Show on KBOO. I'm SW Concer, and Jen was just talking with Marco Castro Bojorquez, the curator of Noche de Película, the documentary screening at PDX Latinx Pride. And now we are joined in the studio once again by Portland Film Festival director Josh Leek. Josh, welcome back to KBOO.
Hi, Conch. Thanks for having me. Always love it. You guys have the best movie-related talk show in town, so...
Well, I'm blushing. You've brought some filmmakers with you today. Lori Craig is joining us on the phone, and she is a screenwriter who's brought some beloved Portland characters to the big screen in Ramona and Beezus, for example. And here in the studio, we have Rob Taylor. He's the director of the sci-fi comedy Neil Stryker and the Tyrant of Time. Welcome, everybody.
Hi, good morning, Conch. Josh.
Hey, Rob.
I'm really honored that I've been selected for the Portland Film Festival.
And I'm hoping we have Lori on the phone here. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Lori. So you are coming to the Portland Film Festival next week. That's when it's going to be happening. And you are going to be, Josh is going to tell us about some of the panels and workshops and maybe the master classes that are covering the screenwriting.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll let Lori talk about her panel herself. But there's two things I think that sets the Portland Film Festival apart from a lot of other festivals. It's that you can not only watch some of the most amazing independent film out there, but secondly, you can also learn to become a filmmaker yourself, or if you already are a filmmaker, how to improve your skills and make yourself more sellable in Hollywood, which is why, for example, we have some amazing professionals such as Lori Craig, which will talk to you about screenwriting. So
yes, Lori, so you are you're known largely for work in romantic comedy and family films. You've been, you've worked with Tony Shalhoub and Jenna Rollins in Polly, and Ella Enchanted was one of your screenwritings, scripts. Tell us about what you'll be sharing with the Portland audience when you come to the Portland Film Festival next week.
Oh, sure. First, I just want to correct the record. I didn't bring Ramona and Beezus to life. That has to go to Portland's own Beverly Cleary.
Right, who just turned 100. She's 100 years good right now, apparently.
Fabulous, fabulous lady. I had the privilege of adapting those novels into the film.
Right, on the big screen. So brought them to life, yeah. On the big screen is what I should say. You were obviously a lover of those great Henry Higgins books that Beverly Cleary wrote.
Yes, of course. And then in terms of what's coming up next week, I'm going to be doing a panel on writing is rewriting, because you're never really done. Once you turn in that first draft and you think it's perfect, and if you're fortunate enough to get it set up, then everybody comes in with more notes and ideas and changes and lots of different things that you have to keep adapting over and over again. So it's a little bit of practical and... some humorous anecdotes about how not to lose your mind in the midst of that.
Now,
have to ride the bucking bronco.
Have the studio folks that you've worked with been respectful enough that they'll keep you doing the rewrites? They won't bring somebody else in to touch stuff up. You'll be the person working all the way through.
Sometimes I'm that fortunate enough to hang on. Sometimes I've been rewritten. Sometimes I've rewritten other people. It just depends on the situation.
So we're going to be, there's an opportunity for people to show up on Wednesday, the 31st, very last day of August, in the afternoon. And that's going to be the Writing is Rewriting workshop. And so, yeah, you're going to be talking about how basically it's a collaborative process. Filmmaking is always a collaborative process. And that starts at the very beginning. That starts with the script. Along the way, there's even times where certainly actors have decided. There's a famous story about Rutger Hauer writing some of his own lines for Blade Runner, for example. So, you know, it's not until it actually gets on film that the script is finalized.
Yeah, you have to be a little bit of a psychologist because sometimes somebody's not going to come out of the trailer and say the line as written. So you have to figure out what they would like to say that's also acceptable to the director and also to the story because you've got some exposition or something you need to get across. Other times you might lose your location. Instead of it being, you know, on a field in the daytime, it's now at night in a, you know, soundstage, or you get the note that comes back, we've got to cut 20 pages for budget. There's all kinds of reasons. And even in the development process, you'll come across things where I was once hired by a very big deal director to write a earnest new age love story where two characters dreamt about each other and then they only met on the last page. And I did that, and it was kind of earnest and new agey and sweet, and everybody read it, and we kind of went, hey, it's kind of boring. And the director said, why don't they meet on page 30 instead? and so it ended up becoming this, like, wacky sex farce. The genre changed, the tone changed. Of course, the structure had to change, so much so that if I had sued myself for credit, in an arbitration, I would have lost. I would not have been able to keep my own credit. So it's a practical thing, and it's also just sort of you got to go in with a little bit of a sense of humor and not think that, oh, this thing that I wrote is just so perfect that it's set in stone and nobody can ever change it or improve it. Because what I like to say is if somebody has a better idea, I get to go to bed earlier.
I think artists of all stripes can relate to that, working with clients and always having to be flexible. Maybe a little improv training might help.
Yeah.
We actually have that at the festival, too.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, we're going to talk with Josh some more about some other festival highlights. Yeah, so you have improv training, you said.
Yeah, we've got classes pretty much, like I said. If you're interested in getting into the movie scene, or if you're already in the movie scene, we're flying up several professionals that have acted in films that we all know and love. You can take screenwriting classes, improv classes. We've got an editing course, and pretty much anything you can think of that has to do with movies will be at our festival. And let's not forget about the movies. And we've got tons of those. We have about 54 independent features screening and another 90 short films and about 10 short blocks. And we have about 150 to 200 filmmakers flying in next week to do Q&As. So I think it's going to be another record for us.
Now, if somebody wanted to just go to Lori's class and no others, they could get a single
ticket. Yeah, they can get a single ticket. Okay. Workshops are $15. Mm-hmm. Movies are $10. And you can get a festival pass all access for, I think, $180, which gets you into over 120 different movies and 30 different workshops, parties, and so forth. And then we also have an industry pass. So if you work in the movie industry, you can get a pass. I think it's $109, and you can get to anything on standby.
Well, let's talk about another event that's coming up, and that is a screening of the new feature. This is Neil Stryker, the Tyrant of Time, and we have Rob Taylor, the co-director. No, you are the director and the co-producer, and I think we can.
That's right, baby.
I think we can safely say that this is a genre mashup. This film that you've done, Neil Stryker and the Tyrant of Time, was named Best Comedy Film at the Oregon Independent Film Festival. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Me and my co-producer, Nick, are very honored to receive that award, and we're also nominated for Best Picture, fingers crossed.
I'm fascinated by this film because it's not a typical low-budget film. It has the wonderful production values that you might see on a lot of digital effects movies that come out nowadays with the available technology, but you somehow landed a couple of amazing stars. You've got David Ogden Stiers on board, and you have Walter Koenig from the original Star Trek cast.
Oh yeah!
So tell us about landing these guys.
Well, Walter Koenig was just some good production work on my co-producer Nick Costa's part. He really wanted to get a celebrity for a special guest appearance, and I was like, Nick, we got to finish this movie. Stop spending all your time trying to get a celebrity. And I said, all right, Nick, I'll give you one more chance. If you can get George Takei or Walter Koenig, great. But if they don't write you back, we got to make the movie. So he sent them both an email. George Takei respectfully did not return our email, but Walter's agent wrote us back and said, Walter likes the idea. He wants to know more. So we just started a dialogue, and before you knew it, we had him signed up.
So it's a comedy sci-fi, and it's set in various time and place kind of scenes. And you've got, let's say here in the Northwest, people might know about Leavenworth, Washington. This is a touristy town that's got Bavarian architecture all over the place. And you took advantage of the good people of Leavenworth. They loved having you up there. You hardly had to, you basically had a lot of cooperation from the locals in turning Leavenworth, Washington into 1939 Bavaria, is that right?
That's right. The people of Leavenworth were sweethearts. We rolled in there early in the day. They were expecting us. And I don't know if she was the mayor, but she was some kind of head of the city. And she was parading us down the streets. She seemed to know all the local inhabitants. And she was just having a super time. Hey, Mary, how's it going? Got a couple filmmakers here. We're just making a movie. Hollywood stuff. Tell you about it later. Hey, Dave, these guys need to use the city crane to get a huge shot. Can you show them how it works? Thanks.
So you now you have this screening coming up. This is Neil Stryker and the Tyrant of Time. You will be at the festival with your co-producer, and his name is Nick Costa.
That's
and
right.
He is and he is the guy that pulled in David Ogden Stiers during his bartending job here in Portland. Yeah,
that's right. He used to bartend at the River Place Hotel on the waterfront, and Dave Stiers was a regular customer there. After bringing up some room service and pitching a script or two, David Ogden Stiers and Nick Costa became friends. So they would chat on the phone, do what friends do, and when he caught wind that we were making a movie, he called Nick immediately and said, Am I not in it? When I heard that, I was like, perfect, I already had him in mind for a role. So we cast him as the Admiral, which is basically as high up as it gets at Elite Forces, which is the agency that Neil Stryker works for. And as far as Leavenworth go, there's a lot of time travel in this movie, and we had to blast back to Nazi-occupied Austria circa 1939, but that's all I'm going to give away about that.
Well, you'll give away more at the screening. Tell us when the screening is going to happen for Neil Stryker and the Tyrant of Time. And that's you'll be Q&A. Thursday the 1st at 9:45. And you're going to be there with Nick Costa. And Josh Leek, tell us about, how can listeners find out more about this year's Portland Film Festival?
Yeah, we have our schedule all up online. You can buy tickets. You can get passes at pdxff.com. And there's still a few tickets left for Neil Stryker and the Tyrant of Time, but they're going quick.
Get them while they're hot. Hopefully we'll have a few more people at the Q&A. We actually have a third producer, Travis Becker, Jubal Nance production designer, Cameron Gates, Goblin sculptor, Brenda Smith, VFX, and Neil Taylor, my twin brother, who also helped with a lot of the VFX.
How many people did it take you to make that movie?
Well, I think the end credits, we even maybe missed a few people, but I hope not.
Just guess, how many?
90, which seems small.
That's a lot of Portlanders working on this really cool film.
Yeah,
and I
got to
say that, you know, they're all out of 120 plus films that we have. If you multiply 90 times 120, how many people were really involved in these films? I think it's pretty amazing. Come out and see these films. If you have questions or anything, feel free to tweet us. Our Twitter is at Portland Film. Make sure you use hashtag PDXFF16. And tickets are on sale now at PDXFF.com.
And a reminder that on the 31st, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Laurie Craig will be hosting a panel about screenwriting. And Laurie, it's been great to have you on the film show, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the Portland Film Festival.
I look forward to being back up in Portland.
Thank you so much, Rob Stryker and Lori Craig, for helping preview the Portland Film Festival for us. We are going to join Jen Chavez in just a moment for the month's film events calendar. But first, let's give some tickets away.
Yeah, let's do it.
We have three pairs of tickets here for the opening night screening at the Portland Film Festival.
The opening night documentary.
Documentary. That's next Tuesday, August 30th at the Laurelhurst Theater. And if you are lucky callers number 2, 4, and 6, those tickets can be yours. The number to call is 503-231-8032. The opening night film is Wizard Mode, and co-directors Nathan Drillet and Jeff Petrie will be in attendance. Again, the number to call to win yourself a pair of tickets is 503-231-8032. And now, here's Jen with the film calendar.
Here's a list of film events coming up in the next month. Today and tomorrow, August 25th and 26th, The Hollywood will host cult filmmaker Penelope Spheeris for Word Wars Summer Bummer. It'll feature Dudes on Thursday and Suburbia on Friday, paired with a short films program both nights and with Spheeris in attendance both nights. More info at hollywoodtheater.org. Also tonight, the 25th, the Northwest Film Center presents the final installment of its outdoor summer screening series, Top Down Rooftop Cinema. The series will close with True Stories, starring and directed by David Byrne of the Talking Heads, screened atop the roof of the Hotel Deluxe parking garage downtown. Doors at 7, music at 8, films at dusk, details at nwfilm.org. On August 28th at 5 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, creative change agency Vox Siren presents Produced by Her, a night of youth-made short films. It'll feature four documentaries made by girls aged 12 through 17, made during a summer media camp, with films exploring sex trafficking, LGBTQ safe spaces, women graffiti artists, and the experiences of black girls in Portland. Students of another youth filmmaking program, POW Girls, will also be showing original shorts, with a panel to follow. Details at hollywoodtheater.org. On August 29th at the Hollywood, Dracula, a Modern Silent Film, will screen at 7 p.m. Director Marc Andres, past guest on the film show, will be in attendance to showcase his latest animated hybrid of early silent cinema and the graphic novel, adapting the Bram Stoker classic. More info at hollywoodtheater.org. From September 16th through the 23rd, the Portland Queer Film Festival celebrates its 20th anniversary at Cinema 21, showcasing international features, documentaries, and shorts that are by, about, or of interest to the LGBTQ community. More info and a schedule to come at pdxqueerfilm.com. From September 22nd through the 26th, Northwest Film Center's annual Drive-In at Seidel Yards returns. Drive, bike, or streetcar to enjoy 7:30 p.m. outdoor screenings and nearby food carts. Gates open at 5 p.m. The series kicks off with The Big Lebowski on Thursday the 22nd and wraps up with Cool Hand Luke on Monday the 26th. For a complete list of films, see nwfilm.org. From September 23rd through the 25th, this year's Oregon Independent Film Festival will host film screenings and cinema events in Portland, with three nights of features and shorts at the Clinton Street Theater. The Dual City Festival, with premiere screenings in Eugene, Oregon, will show over 65 new independent films from 8 countries. Full schedule available soon at OregonIndependentFilmFest.com. That just about wraps it up. Have a good month, everybody.
Hey, thanks, Jen, and thank you to our guests today, Marco Castro-Bajorquez, Lori Craig, Rob Stryker, and Josh Leek.
Thanks a lot. We really appreciate it.
And thanks also to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration, and thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. The audio for this show, as well as our extended interviews, will be available later today on our archive page, kboo.fm/thefilmshow. And you can keep up with us on Twitter at KBOO Film Show. Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station.